Welcome, everyone. I'm John Melke here on Parkside Today, and I think we're going to have a fun conversation. We're joined today by Assistant Director of Athletics for Communications, Sean Daniels. Sean, welcome to Parkside Today.
John, thank you for having me on.
Well, I'm glad you could be here. Tell us a little bit about, as you're in your role as Assistant Director of Athletics for Communications, how do you describe your role to someone?
It's tough, actually. I honestly, to this day, I don't think my parents know exactly what I do, because they kind of ask me, you know, what'd you do this week? And it's always something different. But I guess if I had to say to somebody, I would say, first of all, you'd look at our website, parksiderangers.com, and everything that's on there is handled through communications, which would be the schedules, the rosters, every single story that's up there, all the live streaming, all the stats, and kind of what's been a big part of my job this year has been branding and graphic design. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of changed a little bit in this, I guess, in this career field. So back in the day, it used to be all stats and that was really it. But now it's
right.
Like, you better know Adobe Photoshop, you better know InDesign. And now I'm starting to teach myself some video skills too. So yeah, I've kind of been handling all the branding, all the graphic design, on top of all the website duties as well.
Sure. And you've been here at UW Parkside for about a year. How does Sean Daniels get to UW Parkside?
Well, I graduated from UW La Crosse in 2015. Got to give a shout out to Dave Johnson over there. He's the head of communications for athletics over there. He kind of got me started. So after lacrosse, went on to Western Michigan, got my master's degree over there, mm-hmm. Served 2 years as a graduate assistant for communications, got some really good experience over there. It was during the time PJ Fleck was the head coach, so it was, every day was a media frenzy over there for football, mm-hmm. So it was a great time to be over there.
Mm-hmm.
After Western Michigan, made a quick little stint out at Air Force Academy in Colorado,
mm-hmm.
Just about little over 3 months until I got the call that there was a job opening here at Parkside, and just thought it was an opportunity that I couldn't pass up. And so far, I think I'm right about that.
That's good. Well, we're glad to have you here. Talk a little bit about how social media impacts the job that you do. It seems like today there is so much information out, whether it be news about the university, news about athletics, that is so immediate that maybe a decade or so ago wasn't that way.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you're not very good on social media, that's probably the number one thing that your student athletes and recruits coming in are going to notice. And coaches will say that to me every time. You got to be big on social mm-hmm. media. I think that's very good. I think that's something that I'm very good at now. Hopefully, I'm thinking because I'm a younger guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why, because I grew up using Facebook and using Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram. So like potential student athletes or people, you know, coming to Parkside or looking at Parkside, they're going to go on their phone and maybe they'll Google it. They'll probably go on the Facebook page or they'll go on Twitter and they'll search it that way. So we just like over in athletics, we want to get something up there, you know, at least once a day, just get a picture of a team practicing or get a graphic up there, get a story, get something up there. And like you asked, social media and this job it's changed the job
mm-hmm.
completely. So they used to just send press releases to the newspaper and send right. it out via email. And now you better get some stuff on social media immediately after the game. And
mm-hmm.
maybe not now. We want to get to this point where people are asking us, you know, what was the final score? How come we didn't see the final score? But, you know, at Division I levels, if you can say that Wisconsin Badger football doesn't put up the final score right away and people are watching social media looking for it, like, people are going to be upset. So
right,
you got to
right.
be good on social media. You got to be quick and it's got to catch people's eye.
How much during the course of a game or a match or how much information are you trying to get up on social media while the contest is going on?
While the contest is going on, I'm lucky to have a very good group of student interns as well as a GA over there that's been very good with social media. So this year, we'll take volleyball for example, I'm the stat inputter. So I'm basically stuck at the computer the entire match. But Robin Elliott, who's the my GA over there in communications, done very good, where she's been grabbing our camera, getting pictures, kind of still pictures, and then taking her phone, getting videos and putting them out on Twitter, on Instagram, on Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as immediately after the game, usually if we win, we'll put out a post-game graphic and we'll just try to get content out there as much as possible. And every home game we put out kind of a preview, game time, who we're mm-hmm. playing, where mm-hmm. it's at, just to let people know.
And you talk about Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram. It's not just one platform of saying, well, we'll tweet this, we'll get this out on Twitter. It's trying to manage all those platforms. And how do you do that?
It's tough. It's very tough. You got to have every single one of them on your phone. You got to mm-hmm. have them on your computer. Mostly every team has their own Facebook, their own Twitter, their own Instagram. So at this point, I kind of memorized every single team's page. Mm-hmm. So when you're going mm-hmm. through searching for teams, it's pretty tough, but it's fun. I think it makes the job pretty fun because I've always been a big social media guy.
Do you think the platforms are getting easier to use in terms of being able to put information up, or whether it's video or photos or just just text putting in? Is it changing at all?
Definitely, it's a lot more user friendly, I would say. Like Snapchat, it's so easy now to take a video and put some text over it, and you can make the text, you know, any color you want. You can make it flash. You can put it anywhere on a video if you wanted. They're making it extremely easy for you.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about Robin Elliott, and Robin, from the little bit that I've met her once, and she is a undergrad, did her undergrad work at UW Oshkosh.
That's right.
If I remember correctly, in journalism, and she's here as part of the graduate assistant program, and she's pursuing her graduate degree in sport management. What does that mean to you in terms of being able to balance the role of Sean Daniels as the person who has to maintain the stats, the records guy, versus Sean Daniels, the person who's trying to get the information out, whether it be social media or through traditional media outlets, Kenosha News, Journal Times, and others?
Yeah, that's a tough part throughout the week. Like, kind of like you said, it used to be all this job was you'd do the stats and you'd do the stories. And now, mm-hmm. you know, on a weekly basis, I would say the stats and the stories take up probably about a quarter of my time only. It's just, this job is just ever changing, and kind of the title has been ever changing. It used to be sports information. The old mm-hmm. school term for our job was SID, which right. stood for sports information director. And now you hear media relations, and now you hear communications, and then you start to hear strategic communications like yourself.
But
the job's ever changing. And if we don't change and get better at being, or better at doing communications, then, you know, we're going to get passed up.
So here's a question that mm-hmm. maybe it's an unfair question, but
what do you got?
It's this, where you're entering all the stats, and there's a name for the software, the
stat crew.
Mm-hmm. And when I hear people talk about stat crew and I hear them talk about trying to enter stats for volleyball, their heads start to explode. Why is it that entering stats for what's the challenge there with volleyball?
Yeah, if you can master volleyball stats, then you can do any of them, I would say. it's just, the thing about volleyball is it gets going so much quicker than basketball or baseball or soccer or any of those, because during volleyball, you know, you'll start, you'll say serving parkside 10, and then as soon as she serves, it's dig 3, attack 10, dig 14, attack 24, and then you're just kind of typing and typing. So when I first learned it, so you always have an inputter, and that's the person on the computer,
mm-hmm.
and then you have a caller, and that's the person calling out everything that they see to you. So when I first started, it was at Western Michigan. I had never done volleyball before, and my caller would call in code for me. So he would say, like, serving, the code in the computer is V. So he'd say VP10, D13, A9, and I never looked up. I stared at the computer the entire time, typing in each letter and each number that he was calling out. And eventually I got to the point where I started to watch and I was figuring it out. And now I can almost do a game by myself, I'd say.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
come
crazy.
A long way in the last 3 years, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure. So as the assistant director of athletics for communication, you get to watch a lot of sports, that's for sure. And what are some of the challenges of do you get caught up in saying, oh, I'm watching the game or the match and knowing that, whoa, wait a minute, I got to keep focused on the stats and the story part?
That has happened, you know, multiple times when it comes down to, you know, volleyball. I get into, I'm good friends with Coach Liberi over there, so I want to cheer for her and I want to do well. And it's one thing known across the country at all levels that you cannot cheer or do anything on the scorer's table.
No cheering in the press box.
No, exactly. Yep, no cheering in the press box. Right. So, you know, there's been a couple times where the final port's going on and I can see I'm just watching it go on and I'm not typing anything in. But, you know, this year I've been a lot better at it. For basketball, when I was at Western Michigan, I would do that a lot, actually, because for some reason they had a lot of games that came right down to the wire. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching the court and I'm like, oh, she's open. And, you know, I'm not typing in what I should be.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've always gotten past that, I guess. So that's another fun part about it, is just kind of being able to watch the game. You see it in a whole different way. That's for sure.
Yeah. I think you probably see it in a different way because, A, you're close. You know, it's right there in front of you. You probably see it in a different way because a lot of the players and coaches, you know them pretty well. They're friends, or you get to see them and interact with them during the week. How do you have to maybe kind of make sure that you're sort of remembering that you're still the kind of the person who's getting information out before you're being somebody's friend?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, the job kind of comes first, especially like at a volleyball game. If the Rangers go and they win in a thrilling five-setter, you know, I'll give Lee a little fist bump and say, nice job, and then I'll get right over there. I got to send out the game files and get the post-game graphic up there because I just like to be quick with that kind of stuff. But yeah, it is, you kind of cheer like under the table. You kind of, you know, do a little fist bump or do something down there, and you can kind of feel yourself, but you can't show it. You can't show it to everybody else that's watching.
Right, right. What when you think about with the various places you've been, Air Force Academy, Western Michigan, UW Parkside, lacrosse, what are some of the more memorable sporting events that you've watched or you've had a chance to be a part of?
Well, right away, I go back to my first year at Western Michigan. So I was the baseball contact out there. I'm a big baseball guy. So yeah, Division I's a little bit different. We had five full-timers in our office and everybody kind of got divvied up between their own sports.
Oh,
so
okay.
I was like, you know, baseball, I was out at every single game and I was traveling with them all over the place. So we went to the MAC tournament. It was in Avon, Ohio. They went in as the 7th seed and, you know, nobody was predicting them to win. They started to get hot kind of at the end of the year, kind of like the Brewers a little bit now. But so they were.
Sean, I'm a Cubs fan, so I really don't care about the Brewers right now, but yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
No, so Western Michigan, they were starting to beat teams at the end of the year. It was like 15-12 and 20-18. Like there was really no pitching at all. And that kind of seems to be the way in the MAC. But they went on and they won the MAC tournament in 2016 as the 7th seed. And that was cool because they knocked off a bunch of teams that, you know, probably should have beat them based on the talent side.
Right.
So that was really cool to see. I was in the dugout for that and just kind of running out on the field with the team. You know, the coach got me a ring. He got me the T-shirt. He got me a medal. He got me all that stuff. So it was nice. That was very cool. That's one that kind of sticks out. And that's because I spent so much time with that team, too, throughout the year. I was out at practice and kind of got to know a lot of the guys. Another big one was, or big ones, I guess. So my second year there was the year Western Michigan went 13-0 in football with PJ Fleck before they lost to the Badgers in the Rose Bowl, which I didn't get to go to. I was bummed about that.
Ooh, yeah.
I was home running a basketball game for that.
Yeah.
But all throughout the year, every game was just kind of live or die on, you know, stay undefeated. They beat Northwestern, and then they beat Illinois. They won the MAC championship. So that was really fun.
Yeah.
Air Force, too. I was only out there for 3 months, but just that's such a different atmosphere out there. It was crazy. I don't know if you've ever been out there, but it's tucked right up against the mountains.
Yeah.
All the athletic fields it's just beautiful. So that was really fun.
Yeah. I've fortunately had the chance to be out there for a wedding. A family member who graduated from the academy got married. So I got to sit in the chapel there. And it's the only time that I've ever been at a wedding where looking out the window from the chapel, there's a fighter jet sitting outside. You just don't see that every day that they're parked out there. But yeah, beautiful campus.
The chapel's what everybody knows up there, and you search Air Force campus, and that's the first thing you see. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, when as a person who is providing media with statistics, information, interviews, how do you maintain the relationships with members of the media here in southeastern Wisconsin?
Well, here at Parkside, you know, we don't get a whole lot of media here at first. We're hoping to get a lot more coming up. But when they do, I just make sure that I'm, you know, extremely nice, extremely willing to get them whatever they want. They want a coach, they want this student athlete or that student athlete. Just make sure to kind of get them whatever they want and be very timely with emails and texts. And because you kind of know how it is, they'll say, hey, can I come here in an hour? And, you know, even if I'm not on campus, I'll come back for something like that. If it's somebody here in the southeastern area, Kenosha News or Racine Journal Times or any of the TV stations.
What is it about when you, as a person who's creating this information, do you find yourself when you're reading a story about, we'll pick on the Packers or the Brewers or the Bucks or the Badgers, as you're reading things online or in a newspaper, do you read it a little different or look at how someone is approaching a story because of what it is that you do?
I do, yeah. Looking at those stories like Packers or Brewers, I would always just, you know, you read it and you're like, well, I wouldn't have said it like that, or I would say this word instead of that word, or something along those lines. I don't get too much into it. I like to watch the post game videos. Now I really want to get into that here for Parkside as well, but we're not there yet. I'm hoping to get there. Brewers, after every game, they post a recap video, highlights, what Craig Council had to say, and then maybe what Christian Yelich had to say. So I'm hoping to get there maybe one day.
When you think about your relationship with the various coaches, my guess is that when you're a coach and your team wins, you're probably really eager to talk to just about anybody. And maybe when your team doesn't do as well as you'd like, do you find that, or are the coaches here pretty good as far as your contact goes with them, or being accessible to you to get information?
Yeah, I mean, all coaches have a different mindset, you know, when they win or when they lose. But I think that all starts with kind of getting the respect from the coach. You know, you just, after the game, if you want a quote or you want to get something, if you come up and you ask them nicely, usually they're going to say, all right, yeah, I can do that. They're not going to be happy about it, maybe after a loss, but they'll still do it as long as they respect the job that you do and they respect you as a person. I think that's a good way to try to get that. I don't like to put coaches in that situation. But if they do get a big win, then I'll be all over them for a quote or post-game video. We've kind of done that with soccer this year. We had a couple big wins, and Robin was out there on the field getting a post-game interview with a couple of our players. So that's great for the student-athletes, too. They love that. See themselves on Twitter or on Facebook. So,
sure. What do you think are whether it's here at Parkside or Western Michigan, are there certain teams that maybe see themselves as a little underappreciated? they go, okay, here's the, you know, there's, oh, we're focused on football, or we're focused on basketball, and how do you try to make sure that your coverage and that what you're doing is pretty much even for each of the teams?
Yeah, I mean, now I've been at all three levels of NCAA, D1, D2, and D3, and everywhere you go, you know, every coach, and you can't blame them for this, every coach just wants the best for their program, whether it's whether it's football or whether it's cross country or men's golf or whatever it is. Every coach wants to fight for the best that they can have, their best facilities, the best graphics on social media, whatever it is. So I respect that a lot, and I try to be as fair as possible. But, you know, sometimes you just have to be realistic, and if men's basketball is bringing in a ranked team, it's going to take up more coverage than, you know, a cross country meet where there's not much going on. It's just a few teams there.
Sure.
So it's just trying to balance some of those bigger games. And when teams are winning as well, you know, they start to get more coverage and more, just more love, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So given the fact that you you watch a lot of sports and different sports when you get a chance to kind of turn off the Parkside switch a little bit. What's your favorite sport or sports to watch when you're you can just watch whatever you want?
I'm a huge Green Bay Packer fan, and I'm kind of a big NFL fan in general. So if there's a Sunday where we don't have any events, I'm going to sit there on the couch from about 10 until about 10.
10 to 10.
And
yeah.
Just watch. You know, I got two TVs set up in my living room. I'm proud of it. Mm-hmm. I'll have if the Packers are playing, they're on the main screen, and then I'll have NFL Red Zone on the other one. So that's a good way to try to, you know, shut it off from Parkside a little bit. Obviously, I still got the phone there if somebody's going to email me.
Sure.
But that's kind of a good way to shut it off. I've been very big into the Brewers this year. Mm-hmm. Went to opening day, been to about 5 or 6 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
No playoff tickets yet, but hopefully coming soon.
So when you look at, let's talk Brewers for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And by the time when this show airs, I think that they'll either be in the World Series or not. One of the two.
I'm hoping they are.
Yeah. What do you see as they've been really hot? And the whether it's Yelich has been hot for the second half of the year, and usually players, you know, go through you're real hot for a while and maybe you cool off a little bit. What do you think it is that has allowed the team to play so well for this extended period of time?
Well, I mean, Yelich, like you said, has been unbelievable. He very well should be MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be a disgrace if he isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But that bullpen as well. Hader and Jeffress and Knievel's been very good. And then you get some random guys in there that have been very good for them, like Eric Kratz or Brandon Woodruff. I mean, along with that, too, you got to think Stearns has got to be up there. David Stearns has got to be up there for GM of the year with all the moves that he made that panned out. Julio Chacin, Lorenzo Cain, Yelich is probably going to be the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And then Moustakas has been, he's been a big part of it.
Haven't really brought anybody in where that person has not been a contributor. Where you said, "Oh, okay, they came in, and oh, that was a, you know." And I could go to the Yu Darvish thing, but that's an injury issue, and that's a little bit different. But still, there's a team in the Cubs that put a lot of money into a particular player who has not contributed. Where when I see the moves that the Brewers have made, especially in the second half, it seems like the people they're bringing in. Even, all of a sudden his name went away.
Granderson.
Granderson.
Yep.
That he comes in, and when he first joined the team, he made some really strong contributions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true. I mean, all these guys that they're bringing in, you just need to have some, all up and down the lineup, people have to contribute if you're going to be a good playoff team, which is what they are. And they're, like you said, they're extremely hot right now, and I'm hoping that this little break after sweeping the Rockies doesn't kind of cool them off.
Yeah.
There's only one time throughout the year you're going to have a break like this, and that's the All-Star break. So
I thought at least with the Dodgers, I was surprised when they tied it on Monday night. That was Monday night that they tied the game 5-5. I was surprised they didn't go ahead to win that just based on the momentum factor. You know, they come from 5-0 to tie it. And at least they only played one more day. So it's not like, oh, they continue to play while the Brewers are sitting. So they're both sitting for a little bit before they start the series.
Yep, they're both sitting in anticipation of each other at this point. So yeah, it's gonna be a really fun series. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, so big Packer fan. I don't know if they're gonna figure that thing out or if that's just a who knows what I heard McCarthy's bringing in a sports psychologist, and immediately when I thought of the sports psychologist that comes in the movie The Natural, and that I went to different, you know, like that different place there. Mm-hmm. But besides the Packers, who are some of the other people in the NFL that you really like to watch?
I was always a big Drew Brees fan, actually.
And, yeah.
You know, shout out to him for passing Peyton Manning's record the other night. That was great performance. I don't know. He's just, you know, a short guy. He's back there. I don't know. I've always kind of liked the Saints a little bit too. I don't really know why. They haven't been a rival to the Packers or anything. When Brees went there, I don't know. I always liked to watch them. Their offense was always so fun to watch.
Yeah.
I think of who else around. Well,
even the other night when you know, and I was, and every people that know me know that I was on the Taysom Hill bandwagon last year. You know, I was just crushed when the Packers let him go. And I'm watching Monday night, and there's Sean Payton using him. Let's see, what did he do? Oh, he's on the kickoff return teams. He's returning a kickoff. Oh, he's on the punt team. Oh, he's running.
See that off a quarterback.
Right. He's doing all these things, and I give Payton credit for not just going, well, he's my quarterback or my backup. That's his job. He has to stand there now because I have a quarterback. He's figuring out a way to utilize the talent he's got.
Yeah, and he'll kind of just keep the defense guessing at that point. You know, he can throw the ball, he can run, and they're not going to do that with Drew Brees.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's another fun offense to watch. Sean Payton's got some tricks up his sleeve, always had.
Yeah, definitely. And now I've been watching the Kansas City Chiefs because who's the quarterbacks for the Chiefs?
Patrick Mahomes.
He's fun to watch.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. I'll be honest, when they got rid of Alex Smith and they went to this guy, Patrick Mahomes, that they were talking up, but nobody really knew anything about, I was like, why would you do that? He led you to the playoffs here last year. They were a very good team, and then they just kind of dumped the guy that did that. But, well, I guess I'm an idiot because it's been working out just fine.
So far that works out well. But some of the plays that I've seen him make, he definitely is a creative ball player and obviously has the skills to do that. Okay, we're going to go out on a limb now.
All right.
I have my opinion, and I'll hold that till after your answer. Where do the Milwaukee Bucks finish the season?
Well, LeBron's out of the East.
There's a plus.
They haven't really done anything. They haven't got, who'd they get? Brooke Lopez only? But they'll probably be 5, 6, or 7 seed and probably get bounced in the playoffs first round until they prove me otherwise. I don't know. You know, they got rid of Jabari Parker. I don't know why else I would think they would be a top 3 seed and be a contender in the East. They just haven't shown me anything.
So I'm gonna disagree. I'm gonna see them in the top 3 in the East, barring injury.
Okay.
That if the players are putting out on the court right now, barring injury, I think they maybe the coaching change will, you know, do some, maybe that's the different philosophy or whatever. I like the fact that they got Lopez because that always seemed to be a little bit of a missing link for them, right? Who's that
big
person?
Guy down low?
Yeah, who's that big guy down low that actually has played well? You know, that's been a good player. Apparently they're going to shoot nothing but threes this year from what I hear. So that will be interesting to watch to see how that goes. And as our my producer assistant Derek Fye knows, I've never met a conspiracy that I don't like, and so I see the opening of the First Serve Forum or whatever it is, and they've sold 10,000. It was announced today they've sold more than 10,000 season tickets, and I believe they will do well this year. We'll see.
I'm hoping so. I mean, I've never been much of an NBA guy. I've always been a lot more into college basketball. Been kind of a big Badger fan. March Madness is probably the greatest time of the year, I'd say. But yeah, I'll be watching them. Yeah. I'll be keeping an eye on them.
I think the Badgers bounce back this year.
They can't do much worse than last year. That was pretty bad.
Me
and my buddies talk about this all the time. Is when's the next time we're going to see a Badger men's basketball team that had the run like that crew had?
Right. Yeah.
They go national championship, Final Four, and an Elite Eight within 4 years, I think.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was pretty good. We've got a couple minutes left in the show, and the time always goes by really quickly, and I appreciate, Sean, you taking the time to be with us and chat a little sports today, a little Parkside sports, and we get off into some other things. But for you, what does it mean this year being in the GLIAC? Does that change? Does the GLIAC mean different responsibilities or things for you or not?
The one thing I've noticed that the GLIAC's a lot different about is they're moving more towards the videos, and kind of mentioned that a lot now. But yeah, they kind of require like a preseason video from each sport. So that's kind of been something new. I've kind of been teaching myself Adobe Premiere a little bit. I'm not an expert at it by any means, but I'm starting to figure it out. But yeah, it's not much different for me. It's just kind of the same thing, different conference. But if you talk to any coach, any student athlete, like they are extremely excited to be in the GLIAC and mostly to get out of the other conference.
Yeah. I
won't mention them, but
yeah,
that's kind of how a lot of the coaches are. They're excited to kind of start this new era of Parkside athletics.
Well, definitely the, you know, when you take a look at where Parkside gets to play in terms of playing teams that, yeah, there's a lake in between Wisconsin and Michigan. If that wasn't there, it'd be a little easier to get over there. But
travel would be easier.
Yeah, travel would be easier. But I think to be able to stay in this region and certainly to offer student athletes in Wisconsin the opportunity to attend the only Division II college or university in the state, come to Parkside, and still be able to compete in the Wisconsin, Michigan, Northern Illinois area, I think that's a positive. How much do you work with or communicate with other assistant director of athletics for communications around the conference?
Kind of on a daily basis, we'll talk to people that we're playing against. So, you know, this weekend actually it's the crossover tournament for volleyball. So Robin and I are driving to Indianapolis to help out with that. So I'm actually going to meet all the GLIAC communication directors for the first time. Most of them are going to be there. But so really the only kind of communication that we have is we have to send each other our stat crew rosters and send each other our pronunciation guide rosters for each sport. And that's really it. Other than that, every now and then you'll get like a mistake in stats. For example, this last Saturday, Andrew Gavin was doing the stats for me because I was at a wedding and accidentally input a red shirt for Michigan Tech. So I had to go back in there and kind of fix the stats there.
Oh, okay.
So anytime something kind of random pops up like that, that's the contact we have with the other guys from the GLIAC.
Yeah. And so much of that, the statistics and who's playing, you know, comes down to that compliance issue of making sure that the right people are the people who have qualified to play are those that are competing.
Exactly. Yep. So at the end of the year, if we see that there's a red shirt in there for, you know, one game played and it's usually wrong, you can go back and find it. But yeah, that we don't want to take away a athletic year for anybody.
Sure.
For that reason. Yep.
Well, Sean, I know how much time you put in. I don't want to trade places with you because I look at your schedule and I see all the weekends and the evenings and the different sports and I go, you have my utmost respect for what you guys do over there for sure. And thanks for finding a little time to spend with us on Parkside today. Sean Daniels, Assistant Director of Athletics for Communication here at UW Parkside. Go Rangers.
Awesome. Thank you, John. Go Rangers.